Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this December 20, 2018. Yes, we survived Christmas. So but luckily, my local radio stations in this area who decided to do the 24/7 for like over a month, luckily they decided not to switch yet. One in particular has advertised a Christmas overtime that he said a couple more days. I think we're making progress. I would like to see eventually the at least one station in every market goes to keeping it on to the 31st. And by that, I mean at ball drop time. I feel like we're kind of making progress towards that, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Compared to a few years ago, do you honestly think we're making progress? Do you think we'll eventually get there at some point, even though it might be a while?
Maybe.
Because they say it's a season. My local mall, though, I got there, and it was already off. In fact, tomorrow, I think I'm going to go in there and I'm going to ask them why they chose the 26th as the day to switch over. Because so we're just dealing with a technical difficulty that oh, good. I just tried that, and that shows me that we are now back working. I will say this before I move on into other things, and that is, at my local mall, people were wishing each other Merry Christmas the day after Christmas. I don't remember seeing that much before in years past like you are now. Do you remember seeing that as much as they are now? Not really, Cassidy, do you? So I really think we are progressing towards it being later, don't you?
Yeah.
Because which is good to see, because I feel like starting it before Thanksgiving, you can do it after for a couple of days. If you insist for whatever reason on not doing it 1 minute past midnight, then my advice would be, don't start before Thanksgiving. Does that make sense? Is that a fair trade?
Yeah.
That, to me, that is very much a fair trade. Because when we look at it as a season is generally more than a month. It can even be like a month and a half, or like a kid's baseball season can be like a month and a half. That's why in terms of media, for a station that goes to go this route, this is the last thing I'm going to say about media, is feel like a good idea for media who decide to go the route of 24/7 Christmas is to start around November 15th or so, give or take, maybe a few days earlier, maybe a couple days later, and go till about the 30th or New Year's Eve. So about 45 days or so. And I think that's about right. All right. Rant is over. Now, I'm going to get into what the Miracle Man's been up to. Well, you didn't hear from me Monday night. You didn't hear from me Tuesday night. And night was obvious because I wasn't going to do one on Christmas night because Christmas night, I want everyone to be with their families and such. Christmas Eve, I was up at a place even earlier when I would have done it. I was up en route to my grandpa's up in Cadillac. And so I wasn't able to do it. But we're back on tonight. So what did I do? Well, Sunday I went to that Lions game that I told you guys I was going to. Part of that great Christmas gift I got. And it was a fun atmosphere of really loud fans and that. I will say, though, I think a lot of other stadiums are louder. I think you can thank the Lions' big struggles that they've been dealing with this year for that. But it was fun to be there. It really was. And I was glad I got to go down there to that game. Monday, went up to my grandpa's house with my mom up there in Cadillac area. And then Tuesday, we were up in Cadillac at my grandpa's most of the day too. And I read him a bit of a story about the birth of Jesus. And so that was awesome. One of the after I left the Lions game, I ended up going to what in my opinion is one of the best Christmas light shows in Michigan. I'm talking about the downtown Rochester lights up and down Main Street for several blocks. There are over 1 million Christmas lights. And it's beautiful. They keep it up to January 1st. And it's really cool. Even for someone who is faithfully believing for the return of their eyesight, I can totally feel the glare through my eyes of those lights. And let me tell you something, folks. It is a sight to behold. If you live in that Detroit area and you haven't been to that Rochester light show ever, then don't get in your car right now. Listen to the broadcast. But between then and tonight and the first of the year, whenever the last night is, go take a look at it. You live in the Detroit area. Yeah. Otherwise, hopefully someday. Those are awesome. That is a bit of what Miracle Man has been up to as of late. The plan for tonight? Well, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read the full chapter as I always do, and I'm going to zero in a bit on 5:17 about old passing away, new coming, as well as refer to another verse. That's in Isaiah 43. Although I don't have that book with me, I'm just going to summarize what it says. Because we're going to talk tonight about how to close out the old year properly. And how to, and then when we come back, whether that's Monday or Tuesday, one of those two, we're going to talk about how to open up the new year. The new year, it's like you get another lease on life in a way. It's a new account. It's a new chapter. A new chapter. So that's what we're going to do tonight in our Bible study. And then we are going to do one final Christmas song, but only one, because I said I was for Christmas overtime. I did one last year, day after Christmas, so guess what? We're doing one this year too, because if I say one thing and do another, then you're not being true to your word. So, we are going to do that. We're going to do that at the end of the show, though. And about sports, I'm going to talk a little bit about that Lions game I was at and a couple of other games. But then I'm going to get into this weekend's picks, because there are still a couple of games with big importance that can decide playoffs for some teams. And then we have a couple of bowl games to talk about for the weekend. So it's going to be a very, very, very busy night tonight, so that I have time to do everything I want to get done tonight, we're going to go right into prayer. No, we're going to quickly give the phone number. Folks, you want to call in to the show and you can basically talk about anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not. Phone number to call into the show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's area code 215-383-3810. Also, we got the website. You can go to blogtalkradio.com. All one word, blogtalkradio.com. And then you'll see the search bar. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. After you put that in the search bar, you'll see a link that says Live and Large. Click on that. After that, you'll see a little button that says Preacher and Miracle Man. We want you to get on that thing. And then you'll see a follow button where you'll get notified when we get ready to do our next shows. And so, and let me remind you, it is always, 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 always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Smart idea. Okay? Now, I'm going to pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for these people tonight, wherever they are, whatever device they're listening on to this program. I thank you that these people have come on board prepared to receive tonight what you have from them. Thank you that we made it through Christmas. I had a great Christmas. My prayer is that they all had a great one. Thank you that between now and New Year's that these people, I don't know what their work schedules are, but I pray that, my prayer is that they'll have some time to relax a little bit and enjoy you, Jesus. I thank you that you'll reveal things to people as we talk about closing out the old year properly and biblically this evening. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, and Lord, I also pray right now that you use me tonight as you want to use me, and that I invite you to interrupt me anytime you want to, Lord God. And I pray you would bless these listeners. Thank you that sponsors and partners are coming to this program. Money is coming to this program. Increases in listenership are coming to this program. And most importantly, souls are coming to this program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right, let's open it up our Bibles, if you got them, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Woo! All right, 2 Corinthians 5. I want to encourage you, you got your Bible with you. Go ahead and open it up, please. We pray, you pray. If we sing, you sing. If I lift my hands up in the air and worship God, you do it along with me wherever you are. So whatever you do, whatever I do here, you do there. All right. Amen. Praise God. I'm in 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm going to begin reading, and you can catch up with me when you're ready. Now, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we grant, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal, might be swallowed up to life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident. I say, prefer to be away from the body and at every home with the Lord. I mean, and at home with the Lord. So, we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are, plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in it so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. We are out of our mind. It is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that these who live should no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone away. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us by himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. But be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All right. We're going to look at the first two verses of 6 as well. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. Amen. Now, we got some time, so let's go to Hebrews 11, too. I don't mean, we're going to look at verse 1. Start with verse 1, and we're going to go through it as we normally do. But we are going to look at Hebrews 11 as we normally do on this program. And we got some time. Praise God. Hebrews 11. Excuse me. All right. Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not just made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, when Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. When they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth, people who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. He left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. We're going to read the first two verses of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. Now, I'm just going to put this away. By the way, no, I am not closing up shop. I'm just putting my stuff away. Now we're going to exhort for a while. All right. This year, is just about done. The new year, 2019, begins on Tuesday. Folks, this idea, the old has passed away and the new has come. That's talking about heaven, obviously, but that also applies to the new year, because let's face it, New Year's is just about here. So there's a verse in Isaiah 43. It says, "Forget ye not the former things." You know, don't forget what I did for you in the past. In other words, that's what God is saying there. And then he says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." That means, you know, the new year's coming. And he's going to do some new things. I can tell. I'm not a prophet by any means, but. So, you may be thinking, well, Miracle Man, talk to us about this closing out the new year biblically. Well, there's some things you can do, and then there, now at Living Word, where I go to church, here's what will happen. Dr. Barclay is going to talk to us on Thursday night about how to close out an old year properly. In that, there will be some spiritual work done. One thing that will happen is this. We will most likely be called on to go up to the altars of God. First of all, he's going to have us write down a list of things that have been haunting us throughout 2018, whatever they are. Unforgiveness, rage, whatever it is that's hindering you. And taking those things, writing them. First of all, you're going to write it down. Then you'd be told to go up there and shred it and stomp on it and say, "Is not going with me into the new year." You can do this at home if you want to. It's called spiritual work. It makes you take authority over that stuff that you don't want with you to go into the new year. Then he'll give us, probably give us a, he'll certainly give us a new sheet. On this new sheet, you can write God, believe God for things you're believing for next year. There could be some spiritual goals you want to achieve, or things you're just believing God for. For example, I could say, "Lord, I believe I'm going to have a better relationship with you. This next year, I'm going to make you a much higher priority. I'm going to read my Bible, fast, pray, And I'm just going to be a much better disciple for you next year, Jesus. And you just write that down. Or whatever it is you want to. There could be some personal things too, of course. But what are you believing for? And this idea is so that you can use your faith. Could even be a trip you want to take maybe somewhere. Maybe it could be a business you want to start. Maybe. And the point of this is not just to have resolutions. When you do it this way, you want to get God involved when you make resolutions. So that you can get God involved by praying also as you're writing. I'm supposed to be talking about closing the old year, so I'll get back to that. I'll get more into opening the new one next time. As for closing the old account, the old year, there's some things you need to do. One, about these people who did you wrong, about the stuff that happened that you really, 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 really wish didn't. Somebody did you wrong. Someone hurt you. Someone. No, you won't be able to forget. It might be hard to forget what happened, but calm down. You said, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this person. I'm going to get him. How about calming down so you don't end up suing them later or whatever? Just purpose to be at peace about it. And you want to forgive these people for whatever it is that happened. Forgive and forget. Another thing you want to do. Close out old accounts. It's done. It's just about done. Five more days of this year, folks, and then 2019 is upon us. Come Tuesday. And don't just on Monday night, Tuesday morning go, thank God when the bar falls in New York City, that it's a new year. Oh, no, 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 no. You want to do it biblically, man. Because you want to be like, thank God that you made us, you led me through another year. This year has passed. This new year is now beginning. Another thing you can do. Actually, this is. There are three things you should do. Forgive and forget. There's actually four. Close out all the accounts. Number three, you want to mend relationships. You got some relationships with family members or other people kind of want sour, mend them. If there are people you shouldn't have with you anymore, get rid of them. Yes. You should have. Call them. text them. Tell them, you know, I want to get rid of this mess. I want to make this right so that I can open up 2019 on a new slate with God. You know, that's what we got to do. And then thing number four, bury the bad. Some of what happened to you may not have been your fault. You got to be thankful to God that you made it through another year. And obviously, in every year, there's ups and downs, triumphs, turmoils. I mean, hopefully not extreme turmoils for some people, but for everyone, there are at least some small setbacks, you know, because we don't live in a perfect world, so it's not going to be perfect. But what you want to do, close out all the counts. That's number one. Number two, forgive and forget. Number three, mend relationships. And number four, bury the bad. That's how you close out the old year biblically. Now, some of you folks may be holding grudges. No, it's not like I know. I'm sure just because you're listening to me on the show doesn't mean I know you. But some of you may need to go back into 2017 or earlier and get that stuff right with God and deal with the stuff and close it out biblically. Okay? Let me just see what time it is. Now, around the world, on New Year's Eve, people are going to, you know, getting ready and all, writing their stuff down, singing Auld Lang Syne, doing their stuff. But I want to encourage you guys in something else. We can have fun without sin. What I mean is, there's great ways to have fun in that on New Year's Eve. You don't have to do it biblically. Wrong. For those of you who don't know what that is, go look in your Bible. This year has been an amazing year for this talk show, for the Miracle Man show. It's been a year of growth. As this has been the first complete year because we launched this just over halfway through 2017. And this 2018 has been awesome. And I feel awesome about 2019 as well. And I think God's going to take us to a higher place. Really feel good about us, about it. And folks, for those of us who choose to be right with God and live for Him the way we know to do, for those of us who live for God, are at the altar, who seek God's face, we're going to be just fine this year, this next year. In fact, God's going to move big time. For those of you who just choose to hang by the seat of your pants and do it how I wanna, it's me, my four, no more, it's just church, it's just God, you act like that, it's going to be a rough year for you, a very rough year. So it would be a great idea for you right now, if you don't know Jesus, to give your life to Christ. If you know Him but you haven't been living for Him the way you know you should, now's the time to get it right between you and God. You don't have to be right with Miracle Man. It's between you and God. You get to choose. Now, do I want to be right with God or don't I? I'll tell you one thing. You get right with God, you can be in heaven, live in the heavenly home that we read about earlier. By the way, it's a new year, real soon. We're gonna revisit that, and we're going to talk about that heavenly home. And I'm really excited about it. But you've got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to do that. If you've never known Him as your Lord and Savior, and you don't ever give your life to Him, you're going to hellfire, guaranteed. Him as your Lord and Savior. Give your life to Him. And you live the best you know how to live for Jesus. You'll get that prize. You'll get to live in heaven forever. And ever, and ever, and ever. Amen? Amen. Lord, I thank You for this word tonight. Thank You that You're with us. Thank You that we've made it through another year. We're finishing up another year, Jesus. And thank You that these people will take this all to heart about how to close out an old year biblically. And when we come back, we're going to talk about opening up the new year biblically. And I thank You that they will take this to heart, and we're going to do this. And we're going to charge into 2019 ready to go for You, Jesus. And I give You praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And a reminder, is brought to you tonight by McDonald's. Actually, no. It's brought to you by Coca-Cola. Best soft drink ever. There is something to be said about why Coke tastes better than Pepsi. I was reading an article somewhat recently, and in it said that Pepsi is a little more citrusy. That's why it makes it taste a little bit different than Coke. That's why Pepsi does. Nothing against citrus flavor. I think there's something else, though, about Pepsi that makes it taste rather different from Coke. And let me tell you, Coke is much better. I feel like Coke's more carbonated than Pepsi, don't you, Cassidy?
Yeah, I would say so.
Amen. I agree.
Like
what?
I like Pepsi better.
Sorry, listeners. You just learned kind of why we don't make war on this radio program. And really, by the way, it's usually Coke versus Dr. Pepper, not Coke versus Pepsi. Coke is better than both Pepsi and Dr. Pepper. Mind you, this. Dr. Pepper is distributed in fountain by both Coke and Pepsi. It's the only type that is with both companies. The other stuff, it's its own company. Like with Coke, you have Coke Diet, Coke Sprite, Cherry Coke, Mellow Yellow, Vanna Orange, Box Root Beer, and then PepsiCo, you have Pepsi Diet, Pepsi Cherry, Pepsi Dew, Sierra Mist, Slice at some places, Mug Root Beer, and those are your general, you know, sodas that you'll see, for example, on a fountain machine, obviously depending on where. But that's why. But the main idea in this is it's brought to you by Coca-Cola, the best soft drink you'll ever know. Three great flavors, classic, cherry, or vanilla. Of course, at McDonald's, you can go through McDonald's and get yourself a Coca-Cola beverage for the low price of $1 a piece. Any size. All day, every day. See store for details. Now, for sports, the Pistons have really been struggling big time. They just lost the other day to the Hawks by 3 points. Now they were doing well. Now they're down to the 12th team in the NBA East, the 12th team out of 15, number 12. They were like number 7 before they went on that big losing streak. And then they won a game, and then they lost a couple more since then. So they really got to get back to work and see what's been getting to them and start winning now. Because too late in the season to be doing this. It's been way too long since the Detroit team has made the postseason. And to be honest, been kind of frustrating to be a pro sports fan in Detroit. It's been frustrating lately. It's been frustrating to watch the Tigers and Lions trade some of their best players. It's been frustrating. Hopefully these teams can start winning again. Now, let's go to football. Let's go to the Lions in particular. Sunday, Ford Field, downtown Detroit. Lions, Vikes. I was there. At first, it was very electric. Fans were into it. It was fun, especially when the defense had the ball. Because, I mean, especially when the Lions defense was on the field at first. Because for the first half, for the vast majority of the first half, for about 1 4/5 of a quarter, almost 2 full quarters, we did not give up 1 first down to Minnesota. Not one. In fact, we went up 9-0, albeit on 3 field goals by Matt Prater. 2 of them were 40 yards plus. But then Kyle Rudolph, the red zone reindeer, caught a Hail Mary pass from his quarterback. Last play, second quarter, to make it 9-7. Then, after that, Vikings went down the field, scored again. Lions, 3 and out. Vikes score again. Before you know it, and then they give up another field goal before you know it. It's 24-9, fourth quarter, like halfway through it. I ended up leaving the stadium. And then at the end, Vikings scored another field goal as they beat Detroit 27-9. Now, as I said, it was nice to be there. But I noticed that once we were down like 21-9, especially 24-9, got real quiet when the Lions defense would be out on the field, when you're supposed to be loud, making it hard for the opponent. It was really quiet, unless it was third down. Now, I was still doing the thing you're supposed to be doing, but you could just tell. It was like the fans knew they had been defeated. Hey, I think real, true fans, they would still be cheering them on. Get past the disappointment that you're down. And realize they need to get up and fight and cheer them on. I've seen this at Midland High games before. One time, I'm at a Midland Grand Blanc game, 2011 playoffs. We were down 35-7 at halftime. Tears started to slowly roll down my face. Now, I wasn't crying real bad and hard or nothing. I was disappointed, but tell up starting to fly just a little bit. And then I'm like, you know what? We don't have to be down like this. We got work to do. We can fix this. And I said loud and clear. The student section could hear me. They cheered because I said, it's our time. got to get to work. And then we went from being down 35-7 to it being 35-28. After that, it was a lot more back and forth. We still lost 49-35, but that was a lot better. Losing by 14, that was a lot better than losing by 28. A lot better. They worked a lot harder. A lot harder in that second half than what they did the first half. I think they could have won that game had they not give up, dug themselves that big hole in the first half. Now in the Lions' case, if they would have got some touchdowns, here's the deal, folks. You need touchdowns in the NFL to win games. You can't just rely on all field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal. Kind of sounds like Figalo, 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 you know?
When you're doing
that and you don't get it in the 10-yard line at all, going into next year, what do I need? Wide receivers, running backs. Specifically wide receivers who want to work with Matthew Stafford. Who will work with them. Because trading Golden Tate, we're realizing that that was not a good idea. We've struggled badly ever since then. There's also called for the offensive coordinator to be let go. I agree. We need to get back to being more aggressive on offense like we used to be. We need to in Detroit. What's this do for our record? We're 5-10. Right now we have the fourth pick in the draft. If we lose another game, chances are we'll get a higher pick. Let's talk about the other three games I picked real briefly. I told you that the Seahawks would beat the Chiefs. They did in Seattle. I told you that the Steelers, the Man of Steel, would lose to the Saints. They did. I told you that the Falcons would win. They did. So they would beat the Panthers. They did. So, here, basically what happened the last 3 weeks, 4-0, 0-4, 4-0. Isn't that crazy? That's pretty crazy that it can happen. It was like totally flip-flopped. So I guess, based on these picks, I think I must be on the pendulum right at the fair completely. Literally, I don't think that pendulum at the fair swings entirely around. It only goes part way at one time, doesn't it? Doesn't the pendulum completely or only like halfway?
Not completely around, like partially up one side and things down and partially back up the other side.
Well, mine would be like completely around because you go from undefeated to winless back to undefeated. That'd be complete swing around.
Yeah.
That'd be like that G-force they used to have, basically, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
That'd be more like riding the G-force, folks. Which was one of the best rides at Midland County Fair ever, since I've been riding rides at it. So I'm 4-0. So that was good that I was able to completely redeem myself, basically, for that debacle of the week before. So that's pretty good. Now, this coming weekend, for some teams, this weekend is extremely crucial. that leads me to game one. By game one, I mean it's the first game I'm going to pick. Tennessee Titans versus Indianapolis Colts. Very important. Sunday, 8:20. Depending on what happens with Houston at 1 o'clock on Sunday, if Houston loses, they'll have 6 losses. Both Indianapolis, the Colts, and the Titans of Tennessee both have 6 losses. And let's just say the Titans and then the Texans. I mean, we'll say the Texans lose and the Titans beat the Colts for a second year. Well, then you would have, most likely he would have the, for sure, actually, you would have the Texans winning the division because they won head-to-head in Titans versus Texans. But Indianapolis wins and Texas loses, that would be reversed because the Colts won a head-to-head in Houston. So, for game one, you got the Colts, the Titans. I believe it's in Nashville. And the winner could win the division depending on what happens. And Tennessee is doing well, but so are the Colts. The Colts are really surprising a lot of people. To be honest, I thought the Colts were going to be last place in the division, and I thought Jacksonville was going to be first place. But, as we all know, a lot of things happen in Jacksonville, and they are going to lose that division, period. So, Andrew Luck. Colts look very well, and I think they could surprise the Titans. I really do. I think they will, in fact. So, how am I feeling? Colt McCoy, 28. The Titanic, 24. I mean, 27-24. Colt over Titans in overtime. I'm picking overtime because I really think it could be that much down to the wire. That's game one. Game two. There are a lot of divisional games that are mediocre, like where you have, for example, Saints versus Panthers. Well, that could be turn out to be a good game if Breeze is set down, which I think he very well could be. Or you got Falcons versus Buccaneers, which is one of the ones I'm going to pick. Falcons versus Buccaneers. And the Falcons, they started out poorly. Then they started getting it right. But then they went on a big, bad losing streak later on, and that's why they're down in the dump like they are right now. That's why they have nine losses. They're not going to the playoffs. Sorry, folks. I really thought they were going to make the playoffs, but they're not. What do I see? Matt Ryan versus that other guy in Tampa. And I think they are, I think you'll see a pretty good game. The winner gets bragging rights. The loser can get a better draft pick. So is just maybe Atlanta missing an important piece? They might be. But same with Tampa Bay. So what am I feeling? Flying Falcons 27, show me the money 24. Just get it, show me the bucks, show me the money, get the idea?
Yeah.
And this is, that's going to be another good one, I think, even though both teams were disappointing. I didn't think the Buccaneers were going to do that well. I thought Atlanta was going to do very well. Unfortunately, about the Atlanta part, I was wrong. Let's go to the AFC North now. Take a look there. You have the Ravens taking on the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns are surprising a lot of people this year. A lot. Folks, do you know that the Browns are only 7-7-1, end up this season, and the season was just barely a winning record, which is absolutely unbelievable after starting, after going imperfect last year to be in the ranks of the 08 Detroit Lions. But so they got that game. By the way, this is Sunday at 4:25, I believe. And the Ravens, if they win this game, they will win the division. Since the Steelers, Mayfield's doing good in Cleveland, but Baltimore's really been doing well. Apparently, Joe Flacco is not going to be the starting quarterback next year in Baltimore. He's sitting out now because he got hurt. But the quarterback they have now has been doing really well for him, just like the Eagles' quarterback is. So, with that in mind, what do I think? Ravens from heaven, 26. Hash Browns, 22. And finally, yep, you guessed it. Lie down, Packers, Sunday, 1 o'clock, Lambeau Field, frozen tundra. And when the league makes a choice to send Detroit to go play at Lambeau last game, doesn't seem to work so well for us. It really doesn't. And so Here's the deal, folks. Aaron Rodgers is playing with the Packers, and the Packers haven't quite been what many people thought they were going to. So, but you, of course, you have the Lions who can't really throw the ball, can move down the field, but can only get into field goal range, and then they just make it so Prater can just throw a 40-yarder up the upright and get some points on the board, but they can't throw touchdowns ever since Golden Tate got traded. So, I look at this, what I see, moving and packing, 24, lying down, 12. 24-12, Green Bay. For Detroit, 5-11, possibly a third overall draft pick. And by the way, the draft will be in Nashville in April. And I wonder what all events they do in the city where the draft is held. And here's why. My brother's in Alabama right now. Not going to get into everything about it, but he's in Alabama right now. And we might be going down there to see him in March, April, or May. And I think it would be so cool if it was during the week of the draft. And here's why. I would love to go to one of the draft events in Nashville, depending on what all the events are, so that I can say I was in Nashville during the draft. I would love to. Will I get to? I don't know. But I just think it would be really cool. Eventually, I'd like to see him do the draft in Detroit. I don't know how those tickets would be in that, but I think it'd be fun. So we'll see what happens there. And I'll keep you guys posted. Now, college football. Both of our Michigan teams are in action this weekend. In the first game, on the 28th, on Friday at 1 o'clock, you have Michigan taking on Florida in Orlando, mind you. So kind of in alligator territory. But Michigan lost to Ohio State. They got blown out, and I think they want to get this right. So give me Michigan, 28. Alligator, 24. And then State versus Oregon. Go ahead and give me Izzo, 31. Are we gone yet? 21. So, we're just about out of time. So, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So much, folks, for sticking with me through 2018. It's been a great year. And if I don't see you before Monday, I mean Tuesday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.